up, sisters and friends? Welcome back to another episode with some new sisters and friends. Y'all, I'm so excited because today I get to talk to two people who are very special in my life, who are literally my day-to-day life. They work for Team LO and are also super good friends. And we're going to talk about what does it look like to start a new job? What does it look like to step into the unknown? What does it look like whenever you're insecure in a certain thing that you're asked to lead in? How do you get past perfectionism, self-doubt, all of these things that go into starting a new job, moving to a new place, and really just life in general. So I'm so excited to talk about this. Before we dive in though, I want to read a verse that I read this morning because I feel like when it comes to starting something new, the scariest thing is just like feeling like, am I equipped to do this? Do I actually have what it takes? Or even the loneliness that it can feel sometimes to be a leader or to move to a new place. And as I was reading Psalms 28:7 this morning, I underlined it and then I wrote it down as a reminder to myself. And it says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped." And I thought, man, that is so good. He's my strength and my shield. And when I trust him, I am helped. And I think that so many times we're just afraid that we're not going to have the help that we need, that we're not going to have the strength that we need, that we're not going to, you know, be able to have all that we need to do a task. But just to know that, man, in God, like, I am equipped to do this. And not only that, but I'm helped by the God of the universe. And so what can go wrong? And I've seen these two people walk in to this office with humble strength, and I've just seen them just walk it out with the Lord. And so I'm gonna ask them some questions, but first I want y'all to get to know them. So, girls, introduce yourselves.
All right, well, I'm Hallie. I am new here at LO. That's part of what we'll talk about today. But yeah, I have been married for almost 11 years now. Crazy story. And then I have three kiddos. They're 6, 5, and 3. And I actually have stayed home for the last almost 7 years. And so done a lot of things in that time. But yeah, I've been primarily a stay-at-home mom and awesome. A lot of other ventures in there. But yeah.
That's awesome. I love it. And your kids are so cute. Y'all are like the cutest family. Thank you. Seriously.
They are so fun.
They are so fun.
They keep us very busy.
I have to just mention this because we went over the other day and her littlest one was playing with Honey. And he's, how old is Finn? Like,
he just turned 3. 3. In March, yeah.
And obviously Honey is not 3. She's like 10 months old. She's a little different. And you know.
He's so bossy.
And he was like not having it because she was eating all of his toys. And he kept going, "You can't eat toys."
Hey, you,
I was like, hey, that's good advice.
What Honey doesn't realize, but she will, is like he has those rules for all of us, you know, yeah. And we're just like, it's his world and we just like live in it, you know.
Honey was like very unfazed by it. She was like, okay, yeah, cool, I'm gonna eat the next toy that I pick up. So it was too good. It was so good,
which he totally did, you know.
Yeah, it's Honey in the face of like eating everything.
Oh, she eats everything. But the funny thing is Finn was actually inspired.
He was,
because we looked over and like 5 minutes later and he was secretly eating the toy.
He talks a big talk, but he was like, well maybe this is good, let me try this.
I don't know. Yeah, I said, see, it's kind of fun, isn't it? And he goes, yeah, it's kind of fun. Sometimes we just kind of let loose in life.
Got it. Sometimes.
It was, I love good.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm Emma. I am originally from Maine. I moved down here in September to start on Team LO. Let's see what else. I went to school in Florida. I rode in college.
So cool.
Yes, it was a journey and a half, but now we're here, and I love it so much. So
it's awesome.
It's been a journey. I feel like God's taken me so many different places, but the place that we are like right now is just so sweet, and I just love the season. So
so cool.
Yes.
I love it. Yeah, so Emma, wait, how old are you?
23.
23. So you're 23, really just graduated. Mm-hmm. You're back in Maine, and yeah. You were in like a big almost transition of your life whenever I called, which yes. is actually a crazy story how Emma and I even met.
That's so true.
Yeah, Emma was actually an ambassador on our LO Sister app. I guess, how did we even find you on social media?
Totally a God thing, because I was walking through a season in college. It was during COVID. I was walking with my faith, but I wasn't like fully posting about it. And when y'all reached out, I was like, this is so strange. Like, of course, yeah, my answer is yes, but I was like, I have no idea how they found me, why they found me. It was totally a God thing. So they reached out in my DMs, and I was like, this has got to be a scam. But that's how. And then it all, like, flowed from there. So it was totally a God thing.
Wow. And to be honest, I have no idea how we found you. Like, I guess
I have no idea.
You know this place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Emma was an ambassador because the first round of ambassadors, we were so scrappy. Literally, Team LO just, like, stalked people on Instagram that were sharing their faith. And we were like, hey, want to come be an ambassador for LO Sister? Mm-hmm. And I guess you were one of them. And over the year that we had LO Sister, we had a retreat. So you came down to Louisiana. We got to meet you among with all the other ambassadors. And you were like a good friend to everybody. Everybody loved you. Like, everybody had great things to say about you. But I didn't think much of it besides you were just a great person. Especially didn't think about you working here because you lived in Maine and all this stuff. And you were a little bit more shy. Like, we didn't get to know each other super well. You were a little bit more quiet spoken. And so, you know, time goes on, and then we're looking to hire. Morgan was moving, and we were looking at the list of ambassadors, and we both were like, I think Emma could be interesting for this. Like, no idea what she's doing in life, no idea what she wants to do. It wasn't like you applied for this job, just kind of reached out. And tell where you were on the other side of this, because I feel like the timing was so cool.
It was crazy, because I reached out to Morgan a year before because I needed an internship to graduate. So I was like, it would be so sweet, like, if I could do something virtual. I don't know if y'all are able to even do that. So her and I got on the phone, and she goes, no, like, we would have to be in Louisiana. I was like, okay, like, no problem. Put that down. That was a year later. So I was supposed to move to Boston. I say supposed to because that was, like, the plan that I had created for myself. I was in Florida. Then we hit COVID. Had to go home to Maine. Was working also in fashion blogging for someone, which was so fun. And then also graduating, like, trying to graduate. So on the side, I was talking to a friend I'd grown up with. We were supposed to move to Boston September, and then that got pushed back even more because of COVID. Mm-hmm. Like, the city was totally shut down. Then we were like, okay, January, that's going to be our time. We're going. And then she messaged me later, and she told me that she needed to move to D.C. for her job to do it, like, virtual because her sister was there. So I was like, okay, no problem. And then I got another text from her in, I want to say it was, like, June. And she goes, in the fall, we're moving to Boston. I was like, yes, like, we're moving to Boston. Like, this is happening because she was moving back. And then I got a text from my sister because our sisters are really close too. She goes, hey, did you know, like, she signed a lease with somebody else? And I was like, no, like, I had no idea that was happening. And we're fine now, like, no drama at all. Like, we're really close. And she signed with someone else. So I was like, okay, I have no idea because I was dating someone in Boston I really potentially could have saw my future with. I had this job that I was doing fashion blogging, but it was virtual, so I could go anywhere. I was starting to, like, make friends in Boston, so I really thought, like, Boston was lining up. And when I found out it was, like, a closed door, I was like, God, like, I have no plan B. Like, that was my only plan.
Wow.
So I remember writing one day. I was sitting, writing in my journal. I have a picture of just, like, my journal. And I wasn't taking, like, a sad photo, like, that ugly cry. That was not the selfie. But I was sitting there, and I was writing, and I remember the moment so clearly. It was like, God, I have no plan B. You are going to have to be so clear on this, like, so clear about where you need me to go. And I just remember him saying, like, you're not going to need to promote yourself in any way. Like, I just need you to lay down Boston completely.
Wow.
And for me, that meant, like, letting go of the relationship. That meant letting go of the job I felt like I loved. Like, I truly loved that job. But in my heart, I felt like a tug. Like, you are just going to have to set this down sometime soon. And then, like, the friends I made there, still great friends. But, like, it's just not the season for that, to move. So fast forward a little bit later, I laid all these things down. I was like, okay, God, you're going to have to be so clear on this one because, like I said, I had no plan B. And 2 weeks later, it was so crazy because I was talking to my mom. I was like, I really want to move, like, September, October because, like, Maine's a great place to be in the summer, but, like, winter, not the place you want to be. And there's not, like, super strong community, like, Christian community. So I was like, September, October, I'd love to move somewhere. What that looks like, I have no idea. So when you and I got on the phone, then one of the first things you said to me is like, hey, I know this is crazy, but, like, September, October, we'd love to fill that role. And I was like, what? Like, yes, that was my yes, because I remember saying to God, like, if you're so clear on this, I'm going to say yes.
Wow.
And it was just so clear to me, even though it was scary to walk into, even though it was, like, totally different for me, I was like, wow, okay, this, it was just made so clear. And from that, everything flowed so perfectly. And I say perfectly, like, just God guiding it. It was, like, those changes you have when you move of, like, well, who are my roommates going to be?
Yeah.
How am I going to get down there? Like, what does this job even look like? All those things. Like, I was leaving a mentor that I loved. So when I was laying all those things down, I was like, you're going to have to be clear on those things, too. And it was so cool because then everything just flowed from there.
Wow.
When we got on the phone, you were like, there's three girls that wanted to live with you, and they like needed a fourth roommate. I was like,
y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A to 500-500. That's audible, audible.com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends.
Okay, check. Like, it just aligns so clearly. So like when God spoke to me and was like, you're just going to have to not promote yourself in any way and just trust me on this one. And I feel like it just flowed from there. So,
oh my gosh, I have chills.
It was so crazy.
I did not even know a lot of that. I didn't know you were dating someone. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know you had to lay that down, which is really, really hard, especially when you see a future. I didn't know you had such a strong mentor. You loved your job. Like, I didn't know the extent of all that. And so that makes me even more blown away at your faith to come. But it's also, like, so kind that God was so clear. Okay. I was, like, actually journaling this morning. It's so cool that you're talking about this. And I was talking about how I said, God, I feel like so many things that have happened lately have been so in your timing. And I just want to jot down some things I've noticed about your timing so that next time when I'm trying to force something that's not right, like I'll remember this is what it feels like to be in your time. Yeah. And I described it like this. I was like, I feel like the things that are done in your timing are the most obvious things. Like it's almost like, duh, like, oh, like, wow. It's almost like we catch up to something that we already have known. I described it like, I said, God, I feel like you put like a box of secrets in my heart when I was born. And all of a sudden, like you open the box and whisper another to me. And I'm like, wow, like it's almost always been there. Mm-hmm. And that's how I felt with you. Like whenever Hallie started working, I mean, it was crazy, but it seemed so obvious. Like I was like, why are you not working? Mm-hmm. Why are we not working together? Like, why have we not even thought of this? You know, it's like you, like September, October, it's so obvious. It's like, wow, this is so, and there's also such an ease to it, even though it's hard. And even though it's like, you move from Maine to Louisiana, like, oh my gosh, that is hard to do. Mm-hmm. But there was an ease in the sense that you did already have a mentor here. And that's a crazy story.
Yeah.
You had a couple friends from LO Sister Retreat. Mm-hmm. You had roommates. It was the perfect timing to move. Like there was an ease in the sense that God had prepared it in a certain way. So Hallie, you had to start something that was completely unknown as well, going back to work from being a mom and staying at home with your kids. Yeah. And so how have you navigated that season of saying yes to something that seemed a little crazy?
Well, it's funny whenever you said, you know, that it was like so unknown, but then also so obvious. Because from my end, I'm like, was it so obvious? Like, I don't know. You know, it's funny, we've been going through, you know, resumes and interviews for some, you know, growth for the team, and that's been really exciting. And it's funny, like, yesterday I told Sadie when we were going through them that I was like, you know, really? Like, you wouldn't have found my resume in this stack for what I do, because I think the timing, you know, because Finn did just turn 3, I wasn't really anticipating taking on anything new until the fall.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I don't think that I would have considered myself the person for this job anyways. Like, I don't think I ever would have been like, yeah, you know what? Let me apply for that. You know, like,
I can see that. I think you're right. I don't think you would have.
No, I really don't. I mean, it's funny. Like, we already had lunch plans when you told me about the job and you're like, oh, this crazy idea. I want to run by you. And I thought you were going to be like, I'm thinking about this for like conference. And I was going to be like, do it. You know, absolutely. Like, I'll be your hype girl. But then when you were like, hey, like, I want you to do this job, I was like, that is actually crazy. But it is one of those things, when we left lunch, well, like, you know, Steph and Court were there and I totally did not see it coming at all. But, you know, y'all were kind of just gauging, like, is this something you would even be interested in?
No idea.
Yeah, we had never talked about this or anything. And, you know, heart-wise, it was like an easy yes because I totally believe in what Elo does. Like, I have been behind you already as a friend. And so that part was easy. But logistics-wise, like, for my family, you know, and wanting to be there for my kids, and is this the right season and is this the right thing, I did need to go away and talk to Andrew about it and pray about it. And it's funny, I left there and called Andrew and was like, okay, this is really crazy. Like, you know, kind of told him all. And he was like, well, you're right. We do need to pray about it. But also, you know, there's things that you're like, huh, never thought about this. Let me go away and really pray and really journal and just sit on this for a while and listen to where the Lord leads me. But then there's other things where you're like, actually, I didn't see this coming, but this actually is an answer to prayers we've been praying for a long time. Yeah. We just never thought it would be this way or method.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I was listening whenever you were talking, trying to think what you said about, you know, just the timing of it all and following it and having to lay down everything. You know, it's, I think about back to dreams and things that I've had in my heart. You know, you talked about that and seeing them come to fruition at different times and, oh, that makes sense. And you planted that in my heart. And like, really, like, we all do have a lot of dreams, but at the same time, when you're walking with the Lord and you are walking in His will, actually the things that He has for you, you will not be able to quit. Like, they come to fruition because He is not going to let you quit.
Yeah.
And at the times that, I mean, with this job, with different things and prior to this, like, at the times that He really was calling me to step out, it was such a gift that I felt at the end of myself and felt like there's no possible way that I'm the person for this job, that I can do this, because He needed me to see, like, yes, it is me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that He was sustaining, and that was so good. There's no way I can look back at certain things in my life and deny the fact that it was 100% Him. Wow. And I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah.
You know,
that's so cool. It's so good. So you talk a little bit about just not feeling like you were the person for the job. And I think that comes from a lot of reasons for you. I mean, part of that will probably come from because you have a family and because, is it even the timing? Is that even what you want to do? All this stuff. But then another part that we've talked about is the self-doubt part of, like, do I even have what it takes to do this? And I know that that's come in your life in a lot of different areas. Just like most all of us have struggled with self-doubt of, like, am I really the person? Can I really do this? Am I doing a good job? Am I enough? All those things.
Yeah.
And so working through the self-doubt in life, like, speak to that a little bit, because I know moms feel that. I know college people feel that. I know all ages feel that. But how have you worked through those feelings of self-doubt? Because I think everyone has self-doubt, but I think there's a difference in the people who choose to just stop listening and say yes anyways. I think that takes bravery, and I think that takes, like, a trust in God, that, God, you've made me, this is who you've made me to be, you've equipped me to do this, so even though my doubts are saying this, your word is saying this, or your spirit is saying this, and I just want to make that note and have you speak to that, because I do think people think, well, if I have self-doubt, then that means, like, I'm out, you know, like, that means I can't do it, but clearly, you have had self-doubt, I've had self-doubt, you've had self-doubt, and we're here, you know, so there's something happening that doesn't mean that disqualifies you.
Absolutely.
And so what does it look like for you to work past those thoughts?
Well, you know, we probably don't have enough time to dive deep enough into mom guilt, you know, on this one episode. But, you know, the funny thing about mom guilt, and really this can apply to absolutely anyone in any season, mm-hmm. but we do see it more when we are in charge of these little people. Like, yeah. I am their lifeline. I am the one that speaks for them yeah. and advocates for them. And, you know, I mean, obviously Andrew too, but you do feel the weight because it's for someone else. Yeah. And so we see this come out in mom guilt more, but really, like, the patterns begin now. But, you know, it's, you kind of get to this point where you're like, when you're faced with a new challenge or a new, like, presenting a new thing, like, hey, do you want this job, you know, or whatever, you are now faced with, oh my goodness, I don't give myself permission that I would give my friend next to me. My friend next to me is a director, she's got her PhD in counseling, and this friend has, you know, is so great in PT, they're both yeah. working moms. I don't think anything about that, but actually, like, it's realizing that I live in the doubt of, like, I have different sets of rules that I think that yeah. the Lord holds me to it, to this standard, and she gets to be this, and that's not actually true. Like, yeah. we live in these lies, you know, that we think the Lord is holding us to the standard, but actually it's the enemy's voice telling us all the places we can't go, yeah. and he's whispering so it to them, too.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. but, like, you know, jumping into the world of working mom, which is still so new and fresh to me, is, like, I have no qualms about my friends working. Why am I believing the lies yeah. that I cannot do that as well? And so that's a lot of it. And one of the things my friends and I have become, like, really big on is physically writing down those lies.
Yeah.
Take the time, because there's something about seeing it go from here to seeing it physically written to go, that is crazy that that's I'm believing crazy. That. That is crazy. And then being able to write a scripture, actually, this is what the Lord says.
Yeah.
And,
good.
You know, as far as, like, just realizing it is him and it's him that sustains me, one of the biggest stories that has been a big part of my life this year is Peter walking on water. Mm-hmm. Like, when he steps out, what I love about that story is when he steps out, he wants to, and he confirms with God, he confirms with Jesus, like, is this you? Yeah. Call me if it is. And Jesus says, come. And yeah. so he did kind of go down the list of what he's supposed to. And he's the only one that steps out of the boat, you know? Yeah. And so he steps out. And what Peter was called to do was impossible, but he was still called to do it, you yeah. know? And it's when he takes his eyes off of Jesus and looks down at where he dares to stand that he goes, oh my goodness, I can't do this. Like,
yeah.
this is too big. This is whatever. And it's funny, like, I remember reading that in the fall when I was going through a lot of stuff and thinking whenever Jesus said, he immediately reaches out, pulls him out, they make it back to the boat. And he says, why did you doubt me? Mm-hmm. And, like, in Peter's defense, I want to be like, I don't doubt you. Like, I yeah. know you can do it. I just doubt me. But, like, mm-hmm. one of the things God is ingraining in me and probably for the rest of my life is, like, actually when you doubt your calling, you're doubting the caller. Because yeah. he's asked you to do this, and he is going to sustain you.
Wow.
And there was so much grace in Peter realizing yep. when he fell. Like, better for him to fall
yeah.
and have Jesus lift him and know that that was his lifeline than yeah. to take 100 successful laps around the boat and think it was him.
Yeah.
That's and that's good. Been so much grace, you know?
Preach!
So good!
Come on! Take me to church!
So good!
That is so good! I'm sitting here like, wow!
I need my notebook to write
I have down. My notebook! I'm like, okay. Well, that was so convicting because yeah. I say that to God all the time. That's kind of my line with God. I say, God, I don't doubt you, but I sure do doubt me. And that's so true. It's mm-hmm. like, no, if I doubt myself, a lot of, like, really, that's doubting what God can do in me because, yes. I mean, the Word says that, like, His Spirit dwells within us. Like, He is within us. Like, we are the new temple. Like, we host the presence of yeah. God. And so if I'm doubting me, I'm really doubting what God can do through me. Yeah. And so that's true. Like, that's so I've true. Never thought about that. Because, yeah. like, part of me is like, well, yeah, I would doubt me because I can't do it. And that's why I need you. And that's true. And that dependency, like, you're right. Like, he did fall and he did need Jesus to lift him up. But then also saying, but, like, you're actually in me and that's why I'm able to do the impossible. That's why he was able to walk on water in the first place. That was never him.
No.
Mm-hmm. It was always God. That's so good. But because in that context, it's like Jesus is
over there and he's right here, you're not really thinking about the fact that, like, God had to be within him to be able to walk on water.
Yeah, it's so true. If you take your eyes off of him and begin to look at the waves and the wind that is against you, you will fall every time. There's always that.
Yeah. You will fall.
The thing is, we all have strengths and weaknesses, and we always stop at the weakness, and I feel like that's where God starts, because he says, like, my strength is made perfect in your weakness.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, like, there's been so many times in my life even where it's like, okay, God, I can't, I don't know how.
Yeah.
Even writing a message or talking to someone where it's like, I just need you to work through me and act through me, and there's such a confidence that comes from that and a strength. Because he wants to be there.
Sure.
And we just give up on the weakness part.
Yep.
And we want to back down.
Did you feel equipped for the job?
No.
When I asked you?
Absolutely not. Because there was a time in my life, and maybe it was a lie even just from the enemy, where someone must have told me, or the enemy told me, you can't write. Like, you're not a good writer. You're not smart. You're just not. Wow. You're not good for this.
Wow.
And I was like, that was the thing when you asked me. I was like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I really believe that lie.
Wow.
So I remember just saying to God, like, you're going to have to act through me and speak through me. And that's been my prayer every single day, even up to this point. And it will continue to be, because I don't want to be strong enough in my own strength.
Yeah.
I want to be strong in what he wants me to do, what he wants me to speak, what he wants me to act on.
It's good.
So no, I was not confident at all, but through doing it and breaking out of my comfort zone, I feel like I found a confidence, not in me, but in him.
Wow, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
Come on. One thing I've seen in you, Emma, is I've told you this before, you are a leader through and through with your actions. Like, you lead so well. If someone follows you, they're in good hands, because you lead well with how you live your life, how you walk, how you talk, how you do the whole thing. One thing I've seen that you're not as confident in is in just your speaking, like leading a crowd through words. You lead crowds through actions, but not so much through words, which is fine. Everybody has their giftings, but there are times in this job where you have to lead with your words, and I've seen that be a challenge for you. And
100%.
So how do you get past those moments where you know, like, this is something I'm not great at, but I'm called to do it, or this job requires me to do it? Because I think some people might think, okay, this is not for me. I can't even do this. And I've never seen you say, like, I can't do it. Like, you've always been like, great, I can do it. Or if I've talked to you about something, you're like, cool, I'll do it. Like, next time, great, thanks for the feedback. You're also the most team player I've ever met. Every time I've complimented you, you say team effort, even if it literally was just you. That like, you could go fix me a glass of water, and I'd be like, thank you, Emma, you're awesome.
Well,
you're like,
somebody had to put the water there.
See, and I love that about you. You're the most amazing leader and team and all this stuff. But how, seriously, like, if there's a part of someone's job that they don't feel confident in, how do you grow in that and not hide from that, you know? Because I think the tendency would be just hide and just say, like, oh, that's not really me. That's not really what I'm hired for. But you've never said that to me. You've been, like, done.
I think we've had so many great conversations. That was one of the first things on my first day. You sat down and said, like, you're going to have to do things you're probably not comfortable in. I was like, okay. Okay, bring it on. And that hasn't always been my mindset. Like, growing up, I would probably be like, somebody else can do it then. Like, I don't want to try and fail, because nobody really wants to fail. But just acting on that and saying, like, okay, if you're going to act and speak through me, then I'm going to trust you on that.
Yeah.
And just because I've seen his faithfulness in the past of, like, showing up and being present and speaking through me and acting through me to do the thing that might feel uncomfortable. But I'm so, like, I get excited about being uncomfortable now. And, like,
that's awesome.
This point in life. And when I was moving here, I told a mentor, I was like, I just don't know if I can do this, like, write and speak and, like, do all these things of, like, talking in front of crowds, like you said. And she said, the more comfortable you are being uncomfortable, the more comfortable you're going to be. So, like, we want to back down.
Good.
That's good.
Those are words.
Wow.
Those are words I was like, okay. She's like, it doesn't mean you need to be confident in what you're going to do. You're going to need to be confident in what he does. And the more comfortable you are, like, stepping out of your comfort zone, it's going to start to feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
But you have to take those steps, or you're just going to sit there and think, like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
So when she said those words to me, I was like, okay, like, bring it on. Let's go.
That is so good.
And I've seen God show up in so many ways.
Gosh, I am so proud of you. And I'm so, I gotta say, I am shocked by you. Like, all the time. Every day. Like, all the time I'm shocked by you. And I think it's because when I talked to you on the phone originally, like, when we had the interview, I loved who you were. I loved who you were. I thought you, like, just in who you are an amazing person and worth hiring just because I wanted to be around you. I didn't know if your skill sets were going to be right for the job. You know, I really didn't. but I have been shocked and amazed because who you are has proven to be an excellent leader, and your skill sets have proven to be an excellent leadership position for us, and you've done an incredible job because you've stepped into the uncomfortable moments and just owned it, and you've learned, and you've been willing to, like, have the conversations with me. I'm saying, like, how can you learn? I remember when you asked me, you said, like, how can I get better at speaking publicly? Mm-hmm. Like, those are the questions that you've asked that I've seen you actually apply to your life and get better at, and it's the coolest thing to watch. Like, it is awesome. It is, like, you're, like, an Easter egg.
Like, so, like, clear looking, like, being able to call that, like, those are lies when you're looking at someone else's life, because, like, who is, like, more capable than Emma?
I know.
You know what I mean?
Right? Like, and so, more capable than you.
It's
but
true,
it's fun
though.
When you're on a team where we can be like, okay, I don't feel comfortable. Like, how can I be comfortable doing this? Because you're really great at this, or you're really great at this. Like, give me some, like, pointers or, like, teaching.
Yeah, that's really good advice.
And, like, it's so important to have friends around you like that, or have a mentor who can speak into your life and just be like, you can do this. Like, here are some tips. You're going to be uncomfortable, but, like,
I love
go
that.
Do the thing.
I love that. And I love the thought of, like, who is more, you know, who is more capable, because it's that thought of, you always think somebody else is more capable, but that person thinks that you're more capable, and this person thinks that you're more capable, and it just takes you believing that, like, God is gonna do this through me, and I'm gonna work hard. You know, it does take hard work. It
Absolutely.
Really does. Like, I say it's done with ease. Yes, there's an ease to it, but it's hard. Like, it's hard work sometimes. It's hard to do stuff that's unknown. It's hard to do stuff that you feel like you might fail in. Like, that's just part of it, though. On that note, Hallie, you talk about perfectionism a lot, and perfectionism is, like, such a hard thing. And I mean, I know, especially in college campuses, almost every single person I talk to on a college campus and say, what are you struggling with? Perfectionism is, like, the number one thing. Yeah. And I think a lot of that is because when you look at social media, I mean, you're seeing a lot of perfect, you know?
Absolutely.
You're seeing a lot of filtered. You're seeing a lot of curated captions that are perfectly edited. You're seeing a lot of friends hanging out with people on the weekends. You're seeing a lot of successes. And so we're holding ourselves to the standard that is perfection, but it's not reality. And we're always going to fall short of that standard, but that doesn't mean we're falling short from God. It doesn't mean we're actually falling short from who we're called to be. But of course, we're going to fall short from this unrelatable, you know, picture that the world tries to present to us. And so can you speak a little bit to just, like, battling with perfection in your own life and how you've gotten to the place of just being willing to show up as you are?
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, this takes me, it's hard for me to not relate things to motherhood and my season of life, but, like, again, when it is affecting those that rely on you and depend on you in so many ways, you're like, man, Lord, like, let me fail anywhere else but here. Let me fail anywhere else but my family. But the truth is, like, thing that I have learned, you know, we all want to be, like, the unfailing mom, but, like, actually, if I could be their everything, that would actually be the worst thing for them. Like, I think a lot about, like, the garden and how there's two trees, you know? There's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There was the tree of life. And when they sinned and when they had to leave the garden, it wasn't like, all right, here's your punishment, now get out. You know, like, sometimes we picture it that way, but it was actually like they could eat from the tree of life and be frozen. Like, they would get eternal life from that tree if they ate from it, but it would be an eternal life eternally frozen at this distance from me, and I do not want that for them.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes as moms, we try to be that tree.
Yeah.
Like, we want to be their everything, and we want to be enough, and we want to do all these things, and that is great. We do want to be a good mom. We do want to be a good vessel, but we have to realize, like, where that source is coming from. We don't want to be that tree where we are their everything, and they never have to reach to the Lord, you know? And, I mean, like, he loved them enough to say, like, I don't want them to be frozen forever like this. And then began the whole story of the gospel, you know? And, like, the beautiful story that I get to show to my kids is, like, and we talked about this yesterday, like, apologizing to my kids, like, hey guys, I'm sorry I've been grumpy this morning. Like, I was stressed. You forgive me. And, like, even though they're little, they understand already that, oh, mom's not perfect.
Yeah.
So there's room for me to apologize. Yes. And actually, like, you know, it was cool to watch them at age, like, 3 on their own come back without me saying, now say you're sorry and say, I'm sorry. I, like, I can remember Garnet, like one specific on my in-law's back porch coming back after something. I don't remember what the offense was, but she came back on her own and said, I'm sorry. And I couldn't model that out of perfection. Wow. I could only model that out of my failure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's great.
And like the Lord takes your weakness and he uses
That's so good. Mm-hmm. It takes that humility to be able to say, I was wrong. That wasn't right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Whatever it is. And I think like on college campuses, especially relating to specifically sororities and girls who feel like they have to uphold this image of perfection, like what would it look like if you humbled yourself and said, hey guys, like last night I was being pretty fake. Like, I was not happy, and I was, I drank too much, or I actually just made a bad mistake with this guy that I was dating, or whatever it is, and I need some help, like, I need some friends, or maybe it was, hey, like, I failed that test, actually, and I'm super stressed that I'm not gonna be able to graduate. Like, what if you said that to your sisters? Your sisters and friends, like, that's what they're there for, like, to be honest, but we're never gonna get to that relational, just, like, we're never going to get to the place relationally that we want to be if we're trying to be perfect. You're just not. Perfectionism keeps you from relationship. Yeah. And that's what you're talking about with the garden. Like, had it been like that, how could they be in true relationship with God? Yeah. Like, one reason why I am madly in love with God is because I'm an imperfect human and he's offered me grace upon grace for every eternity, you know? Mm-hmm. So when I repent to him, when I come to him, and whenever I confess my weakness, it is never a condemning God who comes to me. It is a loving God who welcomes me back home. And like, man, that's the beauty of getting rid of perfectionism, is being welcome home. It's being a true sister, a true friend, true family.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing. Emma, last thing I want to talk to you about, and gosh, y'all, this has been so good. Like, I'm
like learning from y'all as we're going. I'm like, wow, bringing it.
I know. I'm like really inspired, and I think people are going to be as well. Yeah. Emma, I want to talk to you about staying when things are hard, because things are hard. Life's hard, especially we live in this world where hard things are happening. People are getting COVID. People are dying. People are sick, people are whatever it is, you know, people are losing jobs, people are shifting families, whatever it is, and all of these things create this desire to just want to be home and not do anything and not even leave your house, you know. But that's not reality. We can't do that. We can't just hide. We have to go. We have to live our lives. We've only been given one life to live. Yeah. And you're really living it out. Now, that doesn't mean things haven't been hard. And I know there have been days where you miss Maine, where your family's there, your people are there, your just familiarity, is that the right word to say, is there. All of it's there. And you're here. And so on the days that get hard, how do you fight the resistance to go? And how do you choose to stay?
Yeah, I think it's such a real thing, too, of you want to go back to what feels familiar, to want to be with family, to want to be around those things that you've known all your life, like I said. But I think for me, it's just, like, if God brought me here with such intention, like, for me, it's looking back a lot of days of, like, well, if I went back to Maine, like, that would be on my own will, and that would be on my own, like, desire. Yeah. And because I saw him bring me here so clearly and set, like, every step in front of me, it's just, for me, it's like, I'm not moving until you just make it clear, you make that next thing clear. And even when I said, like, when I was moving, I was like, you're going to have to be so clear. I'm not going to promote myself in any way. You're just going to have to be so clear. And that's, like, a promise that I feel like God and I have made. It's like, I'm not moving until you are so clear. And I say to my friends sometimes, I'm like, I just need God to be, like, almost so clear to a point where it's like, well, duh, like, that's where God wants you.
Yeah.
And because he brought me here and he has been so faithful here and giving me, like, friends for a lifetime to have a job that I absolutely love, it's like, why would I want to move? Yes, things are going to get hard, but why would I want to move away from where God is? And my friend said to me once, it's like, if God's there, that's where I want to be. So that's where I'm like, God's here, God's moving, that's where I want to be.
Yeah.
And if, like, I move somewhere, it's like,
it's like you're sinking the spiritual FOMO. Like, we may have spiritual FOMO, like a spiritual, like, fear of missing out on what God has for us in that time. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are times to move. There are seasons for everything. Yeah. There will probably be a time in your life that you move again, you know? Maybe it's to Maine, maybe it's somewhere else. Maybe it's stay. But it's just being obedient to God. Absolutely. You know, if God says it, if God says go, you go. If God says stay, you stay. And I love your obedience to that. And I knew you were going to say that because that's what I've seen play out in your life. And that's what I've heard you say. I just want to encourage people with that, because I think that there's always, like, a wondering in our soul. It's almost like, am I doing the right thing? Or should I be here? Should I be? If God has you somewhere, just be there. Like, yeah. You don't have to question, you don't have to freak out. Like, he will make it clear if you need to go. Mm-hmm. I remember one time I was in this relationship and I was like overthinking everything. Like, do I need to break up? Do I not? Do I blah, blah, blah. And it was very obvious I needed to. Like, it was very obvious.
Got those.
Like, hello, like, get out of this relationship. Like, yes. I mean, God was clear in every other way than how I wanted him to be clear. Like, I wanted him to come down in the form of Jesus and say, get out of this relationship, you know? And that did not happen and did not happen. But I was just like, God, I just don't know. And I was like, God, okay, if you give me a sign, like, give me a sign, like, that I can't miss it, and then I will. And this is so funny, because, I mean, I don't recommend that to people, to ask for a sign. I mean, literally in the Bible, they asked Jesus that, and it did not go over well. He's like, you crooked generation. So, but I went for it. I asked for a sign, and literally the next date I was on with this guy, we left dinner. We get in the car, and both of our phones had died. And we were like, oh, no, like, how are we going to get to where we're going? So it was kind of a stressful moment. Mm-hmm. And so he, like, whipped out, like, super fast to the parking lot and literally ran into a stop sign. Like, mm-hmm. we ran into a stop sign.
That's when you know.
And, like, I was like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. God gave me a sign. Like, it was, like, so clear. Like, I, like, right in front of me in the car, there is a stop sign. And I just knew, like, I have to do this. Yeah. And I did. Broke up.
Have you ever heard of this story? It's, like, Harold and the Purple Crayon.
Yeah.
It's, like, a kid's book. Mm-hmm. And I think so often in life, like, we draw this, pretty much the book is about, like, he has a purple crayon, whatever. He draws, it comes to life. And so many times in life, we're, like, we see a perfect relationship. We're, like, we just need a sign, God. And we start drawing these images in our head of what we want it to look like and come to life. And it's like, if you just hand the crayon over to God, he'll start, like, drawing your whole picture and, like, the whole box of crayons of, like, all these colors. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if we ask for those things or, like, those signs or whatever, God's going to be so clear. Just, like, give him the pen. He's going to draw life. You aren't going to have to, like, strive or, like, create your own image or own art or whatever it might be. So that's what I encourage people today is, like, just hand over the purple crayon because your life is going to be so much more fruitful if you just let him do the work or, like, let him bring about the person in the right time or, like, the move. Not saying change won't be hard, but.
Come on. What a way to end it with a good old children's books.
They do. Speak.
Sometimes I'm reading Honey's books and I'm like crying. Like, it's not, I'm not crying. You're crying.
I'm good.
I'm cool. There's so many deep meanings
so
in them.
So good. Yeah. Man, well, I hope y'all are so encouraged. I'm so encouraged. And this is what it feels like when you sit down with sisters and friends. And I have to say, like, sitting down with two people who are genuinely sisters and friends in my own life, you see the difference, you know? You see the difference in our conversation. We're like, boom, 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 back and forth, this, that. This is what God did. This is what I just read. This is what we just talked about. And that's what I want for y'all in life, to have people around you that know the good, know the bad, know the ugly, know the mountaintops, know the valleys, so that you can sit with them and you can talk about the goodness of God and all the things, so that you can talk about God being a strength, God being a helper, God being all the things. And man, that's what helps get out that perfectionism. That's what helps get out that self-doubt. That's what helps you be able to stay when things are hard because you have community. That's what helps you be able to go when you're unsure because you call a friend. And so look, I know it's hard to build relationships. I know it's tough. Trust me, I've been there. I've been hurt by friends, as we all have, and I've hurt friends, as we all have. But man, it's so worth fighting for that relationship. It's so worth getting outside of your bubble and investing yourself in people who you can walk through life with. And so I hope you're so encouraged. Send this to a couple friends. Start a conversation around this conversation if you don't know what to talk about. And man, I think it'd be a great way to get to know your people a little bit better. We love you guys and hope that y'all have a great week.